So today we have what we call Family Day of Worship. It is something that we do from time to time. It's where the older of the bigger kids from Grace Kids come in here with us, as well as GSM and G56. One of the things that we want to try to do today is also Palm Sunday. And so we're going to hear the gospel message from this book, and then I'm going to teach from it, from the Bible. And so I'm just going to read this, and you can read on the screen if you want. That's totally fine. But I'm going to do my best to be. Mrs. Weeks was my elementary school librarian, and I will do my best to make her proud right now. Okay, because she read us awesome books. Okay, here we go. A very long time ago, right here in this world, there was a garden. In the garden, everything was wonderful. The world was full of laughing and playing and smiling and fun. There was nothing bad, ever. There was no one sad, ever. And best of all, God was there. He made it all. He was in charge of it all. He loved it all. People could see God and speak to God and just enjoy being with God. It was wonderful to live with God. But then one day, the people did a terrible thing. They decided they did not want to do what God said. They decided they wanted a world without God in charge. God calls this sin. Sin spoils things. So sin has no place in God's wonderful garden. God said to the people, "You can't live with me in my garden anymore." And he sent them outside. To show the people they had to stay outside, God put some warrior angels in front of the garden. The angels were like a big keep out sign. Now things were sometimes bad, and people were sometimes sad. But people still kept sinning because they didn't want God to be in charge. So no one could come into God's wonderful place. God said, "Because of your sin, you can't come in." God wanted people to remember, it is wonderful to live with him, but because of your sin, you can't come in. So he told the people to build a special building called his temple, where he would live. In the middle of the temple was the most wonderful place in the world, the place where God was, with nothing bad and nothing sad. It was very exciting. But then God told people to put a big curtain around this wonderful place. The curtain had pictures of warrior angels on it. It was a big keep out sign. For hundreds of years, the temple curtain reminded people that God said, "It is wonderful to live with him, but because of your sin, you can't come in." Babies became grown-ups and had babies, and those babies became grown-ups and had babies. And those babies became grown-ups and had babies. Hundreds of summers and winters passed by, and the keep-out curtain stayed in the temple. Then, one day, God the Son came to live in this world as a person. He was called Jesus. Jesus always did what God said. Jesus never sinned. And Jesus visited the temple where the keep-out curtain hung. Jesus knew that things were sometimes bad and sometimes sad. Jesus said that God had sent him to open the way back to God's wonderful place where the world would be, where there would be no bad and no one sad. But people still didn't want to let God be in charge. So they decided to put Jesus on a cross to die. It was the most bad thing that had ever happened. It was the most sad day of all time. But Jesus had a plan. He had always planned to die on the cross. What a strange plan. Why would God's Son plan to die? On the cross, Jesus took our sin, all the bad things we do, and all the sad things they cause. Jesus took them all from us. And when he did, something amazing, astonishing, astounding happened. The curtain tore. God had ripped up the keep out sign. God's wonderful place is open again. Because Jesus died, we can go in. Well, after Jesus died, his friends put him in a tomb. They were very sad. For 2 days, nothing happened. Then, the next morning, Jesus' friends went to see his body in the tomb, and it wasn't there. And later on, Jesus' friends were all together, and suddenly Jesus was there, alive. Suddenly, his friends weren't sad. Now, they were so, so happy. God had brought Jesus back to life so that he could live in God's wonderful place forever. And Jesus has sent everyone an invitation to come and live with him there too. He tells us, God says it is wonderful to live with him. Because of your sin, you can't come in, but I died on the cross to take your sin, so all my friends can now come in. We can live with God forever. There will be nothing bad and no one sad. We will see God and speak to God and just enjoy being with God just as he planned. It will be wonderful to live with him, and it's all because of Jesus. We will say every day, thank you, Jesus. You're amazing. And you can start saying that today. One of the gifts that you and I get as brothers and sisters by God's grace is those moments where he kind of brings us back down to earth when we get too big for our britches, so to speak, and that is not fat shaming. But it is a reminder that sometimes we get so like accustomed to these things of the Lord that we forget, like, at the basic level, this is what God has done. He came to seek and save that which is lost. And that means us. In our brokenness, in our despair, in our sin, he came to redeem, comes to redeem and change us. And so what I want to do is take what we learned here from this book and just really dive into God's word and see how these truths begin to change and transform us. And that's the hope. And so let's do this together. So we're going to say three statements at the beginning. We're going to say them at the end. The first one is this. The garden shows what you were made for. So let's say this with everybody. The garden shows what you were made for. Say that to the person beside you. Look them in the eyes. The garden shows what you were made for. Okay? This next one's super fun. It says, the curtain shows what sin did. But we're going to make it a little bit more personal because we're right beside each other. The curtain shows what sin you did. Say that to your neighbor real quick. What sin you did. You can throw, yeah, okay. You guys are kind. Finally, the cross shows what Jesus has done. Say that. The cross shows what Jesus has done. So today, we get to share in this family day of worship with brothers and sisters of different ages this gift of the gospel. The first thing we are going to approach here from God's word, starting back in Genesis, is this picture of the garden that we talked about in this little book. But to hear it from God's word is just beneficial. The garden lets us know we were made to be with him, to walk with God, to dwell in his presence, to enjoy him without fear. Imagine that. To enjoy God without fear, without shame, without distance. In fact, God's design is not distance. It's dwelling. We see this in Genesis 1, 27. It says this, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. As a way to validate and show the power of his creation, he says in Genesis 1, 31, and God saw everything that he had made. Think about this. Behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. This gift where you and I were made on purpose, and that purpose was to dwell with him. You were not created to avoid God. You were created to enjoy God. You have purpose. But there's the problem. Sin. And sin separates us from God. And so we see in Genesis 3 how they were duped by Satan and they chose their own way. And then God gives curses on Adam and Eve, and also the serpent. And then he gives this final one and sends them into exile. This is Genesis 3. It says, therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. It was a way to say, you can't come in, keep out. In this moment, everything changed. They went from being innocent to being filled with shame. They went from having his presence to hiding from his presence. They went from having access to him to being separated from him. And here's the thing about sin. Sin always separates us from the presence of God. Sin doesn't just make us guilty, it disconnects us from God, our source. Sin doesn't just make us bad, it keeps us from seeing ourselves the right way. The prophet Isaiah says this of this separation. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, it says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation. Your sin has made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." And that idea of God hiding his face from you and not shining on you. So now, if you know those two extremes in Scripture between being blessed of God, which means having God's face shine on you and look at you, versus his face turning from you, that's to be cursed or cut off from him. And then to emphasize it, we see the curtain, which is where access to God is restricted. In Exodus 26, we see how God is telling Moses to design the tabernacle, this place where he would have this place of worship, the Holy of Holies, and later it would be the temple. And there would be a veil or a curtain with the pictures of the cherubim sewn into the curtain. So the very things that are guarding the Garden of Eden are the very things sent there to remind them that they can't come in this Holy of Holies. And what this temple shows, what this curtain shows, is that God is holy. And you and I need to know that. And that we have our sin, and because of our sin, we have limited access, no access directly, but we have a priest that would go in our place. And the Old Testament teaches us that there would be one man, one day, and one way. But these sacrifices could only remind us of sin. They could never remove it. And the curtain says, God is near, but you are not allowed in. So look at this in Hebrews 9. We see in his word this reality of this priest that would do this work. Verse 6 says this, "These preparations have thus been made. The priests go regularly in the first section performing their ritual duties, but into the second only the high priest goes. And he, but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet open, as long as the first section is still standing." Meaning, because sin still remains, there's no sacrifice until, keep going. This is chapter 10, 1 through 4. "For since the law, these former things are a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities. It can never," listen to this, "by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness for their sins." But they do still have consciousness. They have awareness. And here's verse 3, "But in these sacrifices, this continual work, there is a reminder of sins every year." Every year, you are reminded that you are separated from God. There's a reminder of your sin and what it's done. "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." And the curtain shows that we have lost access. But then Jesus opens the way through the cross. What the curtain blocked, the cross has opened forever. Look at this with me in Matthew 27. "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded his spirit," which means he drew his last breath to die. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And here's the detail that's important, from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. And here is this image of the last breath of Jesus makes a way for us to have access to God. The veil was torn from top to bottom, meaning it wasn't the effort of man, it was God's initiative. Hebrews 9 says this, but when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, the true, not the shadow, as he says in chapter 10 earlier. Not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood. And here's the thing that we get because of that. Therefore, securing for us an eternal redemption. Later in chapter 10, it says this in verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places, these true holy places, not made with hands, by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way, this is so encouraging, that he opened up for us through the curtain. Jesus opened the curtain. But here's what the writer of Hebrews says. That is, he opened it up through his flesh. He gave himself so that you and I could have access to the Father. And here's the thing that we see from these texts is that Jesus enters once for all, and he offers his own blood, and he becomes the true curtain for us. When his body is broken, the way is opened. God tears the curtain again, like I said, from top to bottom, showing it was him and not our effort. But because of this truth of the gospel, because of the work of the cross, you and I have an invitation. It's an invitation we can give not just for our own hearts, but the hearts of those that are in our life. And the invitation is come to God. Later in chapter 10 of Hebrews, it says this, and since we have this great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. True heart and full assurance of faith means no more shame, no more guilt, because we have this true high priest in Christ. We get to draw near to him with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, fully accepted, even though you're still being transformed. And you need to know, because of Jesus, we can draw near. Because of Jesus, we can enter God's presence. Because of Jesus, we can come home. Some of us did not come from a family situation where it's a home that you want to return to. But you need to know, because you and I were made to dwell with God, we have an eternal home with a perfect Father who gave his Son so that you and I could have a home forever. And that hope changes how we live right now. You don't have to earn your way in. Jesus already made the way. And because of that, you and I get this eternity, this restoration of things, this back to God's presence. And it's kind of neat because it's like the Bible ends where it began, where there's no sin, no separation, and no curtain. Look at this with me in Revelation 21. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard, this is John saying, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. And he will be his, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. You see the dwelling, this is back, it's return, it's back in his presence. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain. And here's why. For the former things have passed away. God created us to be with him. Our sin has separated us from him. But by God's grace, through the cross of Christ, Jesus has made a way to bring us back home. We went from innocence to being filled with shame, and now because of the cross of Christ, we can have boldness. We went from presence to hiding. Now because of the grace of God, we can be found. We went from having access directly with God to separation. Now we get nearness and blessedness. Here's a neat thing in this room. For some of us, you're like, thanks, Lewis, for the very basic theology. Hey, it's that basic theology that maybe you and I need today. To remember what God in his grace did to redeem and ransom you and I. To kind of sometimes go back to stage one. And there we understand a few things. It's belief. And that belief, understanding what God has done in us, causes us to understand that we need to repent. We need to turn from our life of sin and turn towards God. That's where our hope is found. It's found in Christ and Christ alone. But you can't have both. You can't stay living in the world and call out on him. It's one or the other. And many of us, we're trying to do the both and. It's either or. Either you trust him with your life or you don't. And sometimes we in the church need to hear that the most. So what I want to do is encourage you. In a moment, we're going to pray. But I want to remind you of a few things before we do. First thing is this, and say it with me. The garden shows what you were made for. Say it. The garden shows what you were made for. The curtain shows what sin you did. I'm just kidding. The curtain shows what sin did separate us. And finally, say this together. The cross shows what Jesus has done. What I'm going to ask you to do is to pray with me. Pray that God in his grace would just do a work in softening your heart and the hearts of those around you. Use this as an opportunity to pray for the kids in Grace Kids, the kids in GSM that we get to serve. Pray that God would use things like Summer Ignite to help, like, just really draw the hearts of these kids to himself. So let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this moment that we get to share. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, your power and presence would rest on us here. Help us seek you with our whole heart. Many of us believe, Lord, but help us believe and repent, to turn from, to show that we truly have trusted in Christ. Lord, I ask that you would do a work today in the lives of those that are here. Father, we thank you for this moment. We pray that as we sing, Lord God, that you would hear the worship of our hearts. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to also let you know that after the service, elders will be up here to receive you for prayer if you need it.